You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're exploring Munich with travel journalist Melissa Corbin.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Travel Tuesday for Millennial Money. I hope you guys are doing well. This week on Travel Tuesday, we are headed over to Munich, Germany. So we recruited a friend of ours who is a travel and food journalist and a fellow podcaster, Melissa Corbin, to give us a tour of this booming German city. Melissa just traveled to Munich for a couple of assignments for a few different publications, magazines, and her own podcast, of course. And even though this was her first trip to the Bavarian city, Melissa gives us the lowdown on why Munich is such a cool and diverse place to travel. Check out our chat with travel journalist Melissa Corbin as she talks about surfers and nudists in Munich, and about her cool new podcast, Corbin in the Dell. So don't forget to check out the link to her podcast and other places we mentioned in this podcast on our website. You always want to check that out. We have some really cool links up there. So check it out. So enjoy this conversation with travel journalist Melissa Corbin as we tour Munich, Germany. Awesome. Thanks, Melissa, my travel and food journalist friend, from joining us all the way from Nashville. But thanks for talking about all things Munich that you just came back with from a few weeks ago.
Well, thanks, Jeff. You know, you and I met on the road a couple of years ago in kind of a German-inspired area, wouldn't you say?
Well, exactly, right in the Midwest there in Hardy, Door County in Wisconsin. Yeah. Exactly. And although it wasn't that hardy because all we did was a lot of drinking that trip. So.
Well, we snowshoed a little, kind of.
Exactly. Well, thanks for coming on talking about Munich, and this is your first trip to Germany, right?
It was. Well, yes, it was my first trip to Germany, and it was actually my first trip as a journalist somewhere outside of the country. So, yeah, there was a lot of firsts for me.
First, that's awesome. So, what was your impression about Munich then?
Well, you know, Munich is the third largest city in all of Germany, and it is the capital of Bavaria. And if people have ever heard of Bavaria, that is one of, I think it's what, 16 federal states within the country of Germany. But Munich, you know, the Munich proper has about a little over a million people living there, and it's all walks of life. You know, when I first got there, I thought it was going to be, you know, very, you know, blonde hair, blue eye, white people.
Yeah, right.
And that was furthest from the case. All nationalities, and all socioeconomic backgrounds. I was really impressed with, the cultural diversity there. I found it very interesting. There is a large tourism population from people from the Middle East. So with all of those different cultures that are coming into this city, you can't escape the fact that while the bratwursts are delicious, that the cuisine of that area is so diverse. But now let me tell you, I can have me some bratwurst and potato salad every day if you ask me to.
Right. But that also seems like I love going to cities like that and discovering like you think it's going to be the stereotype of what you think it might be. And then you're like, oh, wait a second, there's so many people of color and stuff like that. And that feels really inclusive, doesn't it?
Most certain. In fact, of course, when I was in Munich, Hurricane Harvey was harping down on Texas. So it was interesting to see how curious the folks over there were about what was going on. Of course, I'd see all the headlines in the newspapers and I couldn't read a thing. So I was anxious to get back to my hotel room at night to be able to read what was going on because, you know, I have a lot of friends and family in that area. So,
I mean, were people actually interested in the hurricane and stuff? Because I think during August when you were there, a lot of Germans are actually on vacation too, probably even the U.S.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about from that angle. When the hurricane hit, it was interesting to me, all of the headlines in these German papers. Of course, I couldn't read a word of what was on the headlines, but you could clearly see that Hurricane Harvey had made headlines in Bavaria. And I was asked often, you know, how close did I live to that area, and asked how the U.S. was handling what was going on in that area.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. And well, and one of the things I think you experienced too, and I think from a cultural perspective that I've noticed too when I've traveled, you know, and you could get this anytime that anytime anybody's in office, but I think particularly here in the U.S., you know, our current leader of the free world is not so popular there in Germany, is he?
No, you know, and I enjoyed having conversations because, you know, they're right smack dab in the middle of their elections.
And that is a good perspective too. Yeah.
I am team Angela. I'll tell you that much, but not everybody is, but it sounds like she's probably going to make another term, but, people were a little, how do I say this? They waited for me to introduce the subject because they didn't know, obviously, where I stood politically. But at one point on the trip, and I don't even believe I was in Munich, because mind you, I went to several different cities. But one lady we got along like peas and carrots, but she hugged me at the end of our visit. And she says, Melissa, if there's one thing that I wished you would share with your friends is that us Germans love Americans. We just don't like your president. And I certainly don't want to speak for all of Germany. But I will say that a large majority of people that I spoke to about this subject were, let's just say that we painted with the same shade of red.
Right, right. And those are some of the things I've experienced too when I've traveled internationally since November of last year. Yeah. So yeah, no, I get it. One of the things I think that, you know, Munich is such a great, you know, city is that they also have a pretty good transit system too, right? And did you find it easy to get around? I think that's important for cities like that.
In the beginning, I got to tell you, and mind you, I flew into Munich. That was my first stop in Bavaria. So I was a little jet lagged when I first got there. I didn't know the language, all of that. So once you get used to how everything is set up, it's extremely easy because for a single day pass of somewhere in the neighborhood of €6, I can't remember exactly how much it was, but you can get a single day pass and that gives you 24 hours. There's three separate lines. There's the S train, the U train. You've got the tram. Actually, there's four because you also have the bus. That pass will let you own any of those transits. And as soon as you can familiarize yourself with their map of how transit operates and get a clear understanding, it's a breeze. I found that the last day that I was there, because I was there for 2 days and then I went on to some other cities and then I came back in for the final day of the trip. Munich is broke down into a bunch of different boroughs. How many were there? 25 boroughs, actually. And if you can find kind of like a home plate, and for me, for example, that last day was Lehill, which actually means locals, but it's the old part. It was actually the oldest borough in Munich. But if you can find kind of home plate, and even if you get lost and you don't recognize names on the map in the middle of the subway, if you can find that home plate and kind of count your stops, you're golden. And the other thing is, even if you're sitting beside someone on the train that doesn't speak your language, it was really cute. There were a couple of times where it was clear that there was a look on my face of like, where the hell am I? And I remember at one point, this one lady kind of stood beside me and helped me see where I was. And she, you know, she motioned, you know, you had count seven stops. And that's all I needed. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sign of a good and friendly city too.
It's an extremely friendly city. You know, there's a German word and God forbid that I will butcher the pronunciation of this word. Hang on, I'm looking through my notes because gosh darn it, I'm going to tell you what they told me. because Germany is very, it's a cozy, laid-back environment, and I'm looking for this word. Forgive me. Right. Go ahead and talk to me. I'm going to tell you as soon as I find this word. Oh, here we go. All right. y'all don't make fun of my German. It's gemütlich, G-E-M-U-T-L-I-C-H.
Right.
And it's a specific German word, and it totally sums up who they are. They're just very pleasant, friendly people.
Right. And I've experienced that with other countries too, that they have like one word of just like, oh, and this, you know, that's just the vibe of who they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's cool that, you know, especially if you've never traveled over there, that's an interesting thing to learn about, going, oh, okay, cool. That is an interesting place that I'd like to, you know, go check out someday. So what were some of also the cool and interesting things that you actually saw in Munich?
Yeah, so I stayed in two separate boroughs while I was there. The first couple of days, I stayed in a little area known as Nymphenburg. Mm-hmm. And back long, long time ago, that used to be a farm. And it was Germany's first summer home, if you will, the Nymphenburg Palace. So this whole little borough is built around this palace. And when I say palace or summer home, I mean, it's a big ass place.
right.
I don't know how many acres it was. I would assume a couple of hundred acres, or in German, I guess that's hectares. But so built around this area, it's my understanding that it was a fairly wealthy part of Munich. I stayed in a hotel by the name of Hotel Lehmerhof. It's a 3-star hotel that'll run you somewhere in the neighborhood of 145 euros a night. They have a little loaner bikes that so you can bike around the little area called Nymphenburg, and you can go over there to the palace. And at the palace, if you're not a museum person, and there's huge gardens all around it. And I think back during when the Olympics were there, what, in 72?
Yeah.
There's some little canals through there. That's where they rode. And, there's a new attraction there where you can ride a gondola in one of the canals.
Okay. Right.
And yeah, off cool. to the right, like if you go through the palace and out through the gardens out back, there's this really cool botanical garden, and they've got a restaurant there. And I sat and had some turkey schnitzel with some cranberry sauce with it. It wasn't quite Thanksgiving, but it kind of had that feel to that
German Thanksgiving.
So if you're coming in from the city center, which is where all the shopping and all of that is in Munich. Actually, if you're on the train, you would go to Marienplatz, and that would put you out where all of the hustle and bustle is. But if you came back out about 20 minutes to a stop called Romanplatz, that's mm-hmm. you would get off at that bus stop, and you're maybe a half a mile from Nymphenburg Palace. Mm-hmm. So, and then from Nymphenburg Palace, it's another maybe half a mile walk to the Hotel Lehmerhof.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
Gotcha. And then they also have a little car museum there that people might have heard about.
Well, you know, it's funny. They're celebrating the 100th anniversary of BMW. It's 2017. And it is on the other side of town in a little borough, rightfully known as the Olympic Borough. So there's an Olympic Park there, and that you can go up in this tower and see the views of the Alps and the city and all of that sort of thing. But the BMW Museum is there, and there is also a tour that you can take to actually go through the assembly line. I did not do the assembly line, but I did do the museum. There's a car that BMW gave Elvis in the exhibit.
Cool.
Actually, the first motorized BMW was actually meant for the road, I should say, because the first BMW motor was actually for an airplane, but it was a motorcycle. I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm not a huge car buff, but if you are, you could probably spend a lot more time than I did. I spent about an hour there and had a great time.
Yep. Right, exactly. And I think one of the things that I think either people have seen this maybe on the web or like, how are people surfing in the middle of the city like that? And hey, how are they surfing in Germany? But tell us about the surfing in the middle of the city there too.
Oh, you're talking about, what was the name of that little river that ran through the English Garden? There, any time of day, it's kind of on the outskirts of the little borough that I was talking about. Oh, I'm sorry. My German is just awful. The Altstadt-Lehel borough, if you go off beyond there, there's this real trendy little neighborhood, and it's got the English Garden in there. When I say English Garden, I'm not talking, lilac and whippoorwill. I mean, there's all these big shade trees. It's a big, gigantic park, and you can walk and bike through it. There's several beer gardens. I mean, there's beer gardens, by the way, all over Munich, but... But anyway, you can stop along this little side bridge and watch people surfing. Now, the river, from what I understand, is butt-ass cold. So,
right.
All of the surfers.
Most time, even during the summer, they're in a wetsuit.
That's right. Yeah.
But they will actually surf when it's snow there, too, which is crazy. If it's not frozen over, I believe. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, Munich, people think, at least I did, thought Munich would be a real snowy place in the wintertime. But they really, they have snow, I think, like in January, but that's about it. So, yeah.
Right. And didn't you sort of experience another kind of park, or there's a part of the park?
I know what you're talking about.
So tell us about that. I think we might be
to us. So, the last day I was in Germany, I had some free time, and I thought, well, I'm going to go back over there to that English Garden and watch those surfers. And I wanted to go to, there's several beer gardens in that park. And, I was walking through this trail, and, I saw another American family. It was a man and his wife and their two children, and come to find out, I think they were from Chicago. I wish I had gotten their names, but I asked them, I said, can you point me to I think it was the Chinese Tower, they called it. It's kind of the English Garden is the beer gardens up underneath that tower. Anyway, he says, okay, what I'm about to tell you, you're going to see something real weird. And I said, are you talking about the nude park? And the two kids behind him, they couldn't have been more than, I'd say, 10 or 12. Their eyes were just big, and they were laughing. And I said, you got an education that day, because right to the back of them, I mean, if there were one, there were 400 naked people in the middle of Munich. Yeah. And it was all kinds.
Right. And so that's a part of the park that you could actually go and just check out, right?
Yep.
And experience. So, yeah, if you're into that, there you go.
And it was funny. So I actually stopped off and got some ice cream at this little side beer garden on the outskirts of the park. And I sat down and had a Hofbräuhaus beer sitting there watching these people come and go. And you could tell the people that were going to the nude park.
Right.
And it was, they had their chairs. It was obvious that that's where they were going. And it was all ages, all walks of life. I did not take pictures.
You did not take pictures. That's good. Instagram wouldn't let that anyway.
No.
So.
Well, right. It depends.
It depends. Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned that the beer gardens, did they live up to their reputation of like just really awesome beer and just a great setting to hang out and relax and have a beer? Yeah,
and you know, Germany is a lot different than Americans. You know, sometimes Americans get a little overboard that, you know, with their keg stands and all of that kind of stuff. Germans don't necessarily drink to party. It's like a little break in your day. You're not going to see people slugging beers back. They're sipping on it, which is what it was meant to be in the first place, right? but the beer gardens varied, and it was really neat to see, like, say, a group of older men sitting. You could tell that they were, you know, what's the old saying about as long as there's old men talking about the weather?
Well, right.
That's basically what they were doing. And, you know, there were families that, for example, if you going back into the city center, there's this area, I call it the Vittel Market. It's their farmer's market. There's a huge beer garden in the middle of that market. And when I say huge, I mean, it's massive. And they invite in all of the local breweries. It's kind of on a rotation of who's being served. Like their most popular is the Augustiner beers. And that's what was being served the day I was there. But you can have a reserved spot where you're having dinner and enjoying your beer, or there's just this massive onslaught of people that are coming through the doors that day. And I think they close down at, say, like 10 o'clock at night. So it's not like beer garden closes at dusk.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say they lived up to my expectations.
Well, you mentioned before too about, you know, the food and the real German food that they have there, which is really great and stuff. But you also experience like different food. There's some really good. There's some veggie restaurants, and even Italian is hugely popular there.
Yeah. So there's a running joke that Munich is the most northern Italian city in Europe. Of course, further down my travels, some of the other cities contested that claim.
That's funny.
But there is, I mean, no kidding. You can't throw a rock and not hit an Italian restaurant in Munich. So there's too many to go into detail. But I will say, when I was staying over at the Hotel Lamerhof, there's a cool little restaurant, I mean, just around the corner from that hotel, called Risotto, that is phenomenal. Great wine list, that sort of thing. Then over at Hotel Opera, which that was where I stayed the last night. It's a 4-star hotel. It's incredible. That's in the middle of the district that I was in on that last part, the Alstedt Lehel, and it's kind of within walking distance of the English Garden and all of that. At any rate, they have a partner restaurant called Gondel. Now, actually, it's French cuisine, but I had some octopus that night, that last night that I was there, that was probably some of my favorite octopus I've ever eaten. But across the street, there's several Italian restaurants there. And, you know, while I was sitting, everybody eats al fresco, weather permitting, of course. Yeah. And while I was sitting there, these two guys came up and played Italian music on their accordion and sang. And that was really neat. And I mean, there's an opera house right there in the middle of that borough. Italy, there is an Italy there.
The Marta Batali place, yeah.
Yep. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the vegetarian meal that I had there. So their sister restaurant in Vienna is a Michelin-starred restaurant, and the chef de cuisine there, his name is Christoph Metzger, and Metzger, believe it or not, means butcher in German. but it's a complete vegetarian restaurant. And it's one of those places, you know, you're served multiple courses and they are well on their way to receiving their Michelin star. One of the dishes I had, it was this, the bread that it was baked in, the bread I don't think was actually meant to be eaten. It was more of the vehicle that everything was cooked in. It was these beautiful heirloom carrots with a stalk of lemongrass in it. And so that bread was meant to envelop the lemongrass that was scenting the carrots. And it comes to the table and there's this real dramatic presentation and they come and they cut open the bread and the scent of the lemongrass just permeates the area. And then they present it on this bed of the real pretty produce. And then comes this curried cardamom sauce over the top. And it was just phenomenal. The amuse-bouche was even fantastic. Of course, I was there in the summer, so the watermelon was still in season. And so they served this. It was almost like a deconstructive gazpacho. So it was little pieces of watermelon, and I think there was some cilantro crema in there. It was extraordinary. It was by far my favorite meal.
Right. And now somebody listening to this podcast at work is dying for, you know, they're starving now because you're making them hungry. But
so the name of the restaurant is Tian, and it's T-I-A-N. So if you are on the subway and you get off at Marienplatz, and I forgive my German, I'm not even going to make any apologies. There's all kinds of shopping and there's all these neat cathedrals and museums. I mean, it's kind of like the center of town. That's why they call it the city center. But if you go to the little farmer's market I was just talking about and then curl back around to the back end of it, Tian is a very nondescript little place. If you didn't know what you were looking for, you would miss it. But it's within walking distance from Italy that I was talking about. There's all kinds of things over in that area. But what was really neat about that restaurant, it's in a hotel. It's at the bottom. And forgive me, I'm forgetting the name of the hotel. I did not stay at that hotel. Sorry, guys. But there is a really neat, in the center of the restaurant, this patio. And that's where I ended up eating. And one thing I must note, all over Bavaria, not just Munich, but Tian was actually my first meal there. It's an incredibly dog-friendly city. Mm. And there we are in a restaurant that is working toward a Michelin star, and the next table over, the people had the sweetest dog that sat at their feet and slept the whole time they ate. But my point is that there in Germany, they treat their four-legged friends like they should, like their family. And, the dogs don't have to sit outside and drink water all the time.
Right, right. Well, that just lends to an inviting sort of atmosphere, too, and stuff.
Yep. And one other thing I'd like to mention is while we're on the subject of cuisine, everywhere you go in Bavaria, you're going to be offered something called a Weisswurst. Have you had it?
No, I have not had that, but I think I've heard of this one.
I took a photo of it in Garmisch while I was in Garmisch, but I took a photo of it and I was going to Instagram it, and I did not because it tastes a lot better than it looks. It's made out of ground veal, so it's really light in color. It's almost, I mean, vice versa means white sausage. And they serve it with a pretzel and sweet mustard. But it's minced veal with, say, parsley and lemon and mace. And there's some onions and ginger and cardamom in there. And they basically boil them. And when it comes to the table, it's going to be in a bowl of really hot water, and you're going to take that sausage out of the water. I'm telling you this because I, like an idiot, the first time I ate it, I didn't know what to do with this sausage. So that way, not everybody has to feel like I did this. So anyway, you pull the sausage out of the water and you cut it open longwise and you get it out of the little skin that it's in, and discard that skin, and then use that sweet mustard as, a condiment and dip that sausage in that mustard. It is just, it's, the sausage was good. Now, I am a bratwurst girl, but I'll take some vice versa every now and then.
Right, right. It'll set your world right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the extreme from the veggie, the wonderful veggie restaurant to the great sausages of Germany.
Oh, and the other thing is pig knuckles. You'll see those everywhere. The Augustiner, the brewery there in Old Town, they actually have a window out front where you can, as you're walking down the street, it almost looks like a bunch of rotisserie chickens, but it's pig knuckles. They're big, huge. Big knuckles. And
they're huge, right.
I would recommend splitting it with someone. I mean, I actually met a man, I believe he was from San Diego. He and I would assume it was his son. They favored one another, but this man was eating his own pig knuckle, and it's served with, usually a potato dumpling, and the au jus that comes from the pig knuckle, you dip that dumpling in there, and it's the smell. If you are a carnivore, you are not going to be able to pass up on those pig knuckles. Yep.
That sounds good to me. I'd take down that pig knuckle. So.
And as far as beer goes, Oktoberfest is just about to start up. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the largest one in the world. Obviously, I'm not there for that period of time, but it's leading up. People think Oktoberfest, they think October, but it's leading up to the first Sunday in October. So that'll be a massive event in Munich. So if you've not already gotten your tickets for this year, you'll have to wait till next year.
Next year.
Yeah. Yep. And as far as sightseeing goes, if you're still intimidated by taking the train and whatnot, there's the Grey Line sightseeing service. So you pay for about 22 euros for a 24-hour pass. It's a double-decker bus with a live narration, and you can get it in pretty much any language you want. But you can take that bus, and it has periodic stops, including the Nymphenburg Palace, for example, or the BMW Museum. You can ride this bus all the way around for 22 euros, and it's very English friendly.
So, right, right.
You know, if you get lost and get confused, just hop on one of those buses for 22 euros and see the city.
Well, that's cool. That's all. And then, you know, and sometimes some of those can be either good or bad, but it's good. I like it when it's good in a city, because then you sort of get the, that's also a good one to go when you first come to a city and go, oh, let's get the lay of the land.
That's right.
Go on one of those things. And then you go, okay, then you get more confidence, like, oh, okay, I can go here and let's go here and let's go here and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. I do that in some of the places here in the U.S. too. So
yeah. Yep. Sometimes it's fun to play tourist and get your bearings.
Right.
And especially exactly. In a large city like that, it's not, you know, you're not going to see huge skyscrapers because, I'm sure there's some sort of historic ordinance that, prohibits that. But I mean, y'all, it's the third largest city in the whole freaking country of Germany. And I will say there were on several occasions where I either got off at the wrong stop or whatever. And if you're anywhere within the urban part of Munich, if you're not in one of those little suburbs, just look up in the sky, because what I'm wanting you to look for, it's two steeples with these big domes on them, and that's the Cathedral Church of Our Lady. Excuse me, I misspoke. The Cathedral Church of Our Lady. If you get lost, and I did, and there was at one point where I come up out of the wrong subway, and I was like, damn it all, where am I? And I saw those steeples, and I remember a guide from the day before, she pointed out those steeples, and I just walked toward the steeples, and there I was. I could find my way around.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I mean, before we let you go, thanks for giving us a tour of Munich and stuff like that. But we want our listeners to know about your also awesome podcast as well. So tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Well, it's a new one. In fact, I am still in the process of loading them ready to go for iTunes. So I do not have an iTunes subscription yet, but hopefully by the time this airs, that will have happened. And by the way, for the folks that are listening, I could not have done this without the Gaines. They have been extraordinary mentors of mine. So thank you all. But at any rate, my podcast is Corbin in the Dell, like Farmer in the Dell, but Corbin in the Dell. And for now, if you go to CorbinInTheDell.com, you'll see a few of my new episodes. I am focusing on food and agriculture and beverage through each of the cities I go through. And there's almost always a music attribute to it. In fact, I try to record live music in every place I go. So you'll usually get some sort of flair of what that town's like. And I try not to have something that would be stereotypical. So, for example, I'm working on a Germany podcast right now. There's not an oompa sound in the bunch.
That's great. But that's also, you know, I mean, didn't you find sort of that Munich, you know, really lended to your listeners and to your, you know, to your subject matters and stuff?
Oh, yeah. And of course, you know, y'all got to remember with Munich, you've got greats like Mozart and Weber and Wagner and Strauss, you know, all of those classical composers that we think of from art history and music history days. But you've also got an extraordinary wealth of I enjoyed listening to some of the street talent while I was there. Up the road a little piece in Garmisch, I went to a music festival up on one of their mountains. What was the name of that festival? Gosh darn it.
It's the festival, German festival in Garmisch.
I draw a blank. Could you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but I will say that while I was in Germany, I think I probably saw some of the whitest hip hop I've ever seen. I saw a really cool band that would rival any Americana band. I mean, there was everything from a fiddle and mandolin to a flute up on stage. So you name it.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We totally appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. And you know what? If folks want to follow me on some of my other travels, and who knows, you and I will probably meet up on the road again soon. But my Instagram handle is Mel Corbin. That's MelCorbin. And you never know where I'm going to turn up.